The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Network and the John Fredericks Radio app. And you know what? When we have the Godfather theme on, that only means one thing. That means the Godfather is coming with us right now. New incoming majority leader of the state Senate of Virginia, a transformational General Assembly coming up in 2020, Dick Saslaw. Senator Saslaw, great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you.
Now, Senator, first of all, congratulations. Haven't had you on since I predicted you would be the majority leader, and I predicted the Senate accurately. I said you'd be up 21-19. So, sir, congratulations on that. Now, this is what? Is this the second or the third time you're majority
leader? This would be the third time.
Third time as majority leader. Wow, right. Fantastic.
In 14, it was just for that session.
I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody else that's ever been. I'd have to go state by state to find somebody that's been majority leader three different times in their state Senate and the General Assembly. But let's get to, Dick, there's so many things going on, and you're going to be the swing vote because, look, Alfonso Lopez on the Democratic side in the House, they elected their new leadership. Congratulations to Eileen Filler Corn, obviously, but Alfonso Lopez said, look, 72 hours is going to take your breath away. He said, we're going to pass so much legislation in 3 days, it's going to undo and change Virginia. We've been waiting to do this for 50 years. Is your approach a little more reticent than that?
Well, we were elected to try to move the state forward and not to keep repressing things that needed to be done. We weren't elected to turn the place upside down. We're going to look at everything, and there's a lot to look at, and we're going to, move the state forward on a lot of the issues that we campaigned on. And it's not necessarily going to turn the state upside down. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for Delegate Lopez. You know, he's in the House, but we will take a look at things that need to be fixed, and we will do just that.
Your caucus in the state Senate sounds like you're not going to be just a rubber stamp for what comes flowing out of the House. Let's get to some top issues, Senator Saslaw, and kind of get your take for our listeners where you are on this. And I'm going to start with the one that's top of mind for those that believe in the great economy we have in Virginia. So many jobs we have, wages are up, and let's get to right to work. The Democrats in the House are going to pass to repeal it, no question. It's going to get to the Senate. What say you?
Well, we're going to look at everything. I don't want to get into the specifics of every piece of legislation, but we'll take a look at it. But like I said, we weren't elected to turn the place upside down. There's a whole lot of things that we need to do to work to help the guy, the working fella, mm-hmm. and we're going to take a look at that, as for each specific, bill or measure, we'll take a look at it and see what needs to be done. But, again, as I emphasize, we weren't elected to turn the place upside down, we're going to help out, that guy that's got that hard job and goes out every day to earn a living, mm-hmm. But as I said before, I don't want to get into specifics, but we intend to, help out the middle class here in America, middle and working class in America.
Senator Saslaw, working class in America, the Republicans passed a tax cut bill. Some people got a check in October, and the tax cut was aligned with President Trump's tax cut, so they were the same. Are you guys going to continue with that, or do you see that being overturned?
Well, we're going to have to take a look. You remember, this was not slated to be an every year thing. Mm-hmm. We've got a slight budget. We got a budget surplus, but with the rebenchmarking of K-12, mm-hmm. As well as Medicaid, and higher ed, which may be taking some hits. Mm-hmm. That money's going to go for that. That's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. The tax cut was fine, but it didn't turn anybody into Warren Buffett. And what we need to do, you can't on the one hand ask colleges to, take a cut and hold their tuition. If you take a look at what these people have to pay, to put a kid through school, through college, the $100 is nothing. So, what we're going to do, like I said, we're going to take a look at that, but pretty much that money has already been committed.
The Democrats coming out of the House are going to pass sweeping gun legislation that's going to include extension of red flags, getting rid of bump stocks, most likely eliminating magazines over 10 rounds. I don't know what you're going to do with people that have those now. If you're going to try to buy them back, confiscate them. That seems to be a really big battle coming up. And as well as universal background checks, which, as you know, Senator, I'm
well,
a favorite.
I don't see what the problem is, essentially, with any of them. It's a little more complicated, with the high-capacity magazines that are in circulation. But I would remind you, John, we won World War II against three pretty large nations, the Germans, the Japanese, and the Italians, with a M1 rifle, which I used when I was in the service. That magazine that goes in from the top of the rifle held 8 rounds of ammunition, not 20, 30, 50, or 100, 8. And we won a war. We won a world war with that. And I don't see why people need high-capacity magazines. The only possible thing you can do with a high-capacity magazine is kill a lot of people in a short period of time. And, I had a guy tell me, belonged to the NRA, told me if you can't bring down a deer with 10 rounds of ammunition, you shouldn't be hunting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, the first thing is the universal background check. To me, it's asinine that you have a loophole in a background check. Otherwise, why even have the background check? It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. As the state police have pointed out, I think it was the last numbers I saw were for a year or two ago. It prevented the background check that the federally licensed firearm dealers have to do. They stopped 3,000 people from getting weapons who were ineligible to purchase them. So background checks work. I don't see what the big deal is with having to check what kind of if you've got a police record or a prior, criminal conviction record that would prevent you from, possessing a gun.
Well, see, that's where I think the compromise is, extending red flag, which I'm in favor of, universal background check. To me, there's a compromise that everybody can get together on and say, okay, we passed something as a start that makes sense. We'll see how it goes. You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network across the country in Virginia. We're with incoming Virginia Democratic Senate Majority Leader Dick Saslaw, the godfather. Senator, minimum wage, $15. Do you see it going one fell swoop in Virginia or in steps?
No, what I have in mind is pretty much what Maryland has done, and that's phasing it in over 5 years to $15 an hour. In other words, it would go to $10 on July 1st and then go up a dollar a year till it gets to that. At $7.25 an hour, all you're doing, which is $14,000 a year, or 15, what you're doing is you're forcing these people onto food stamps, into Medicaid, or for a whole variety of things. So you're asking society to pick up the difference. And, you know, people ought not to have to hold two and three jobs in order to, you know, make a living. And, in fact, if we had kept up with the consumer price index since the early 70s, it would have been close to $15 an hour now. I mean, that's over 47 years.
I run a company. I don't pay anybody $7.25 an hour. First of all, in this economy with a tightening job market, you can't find good people for $7.25 an hour, whether they're in college or not. You simply can't do it.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
So the economy is booming. Virginia jobs are up. We have virtually zero unemployment. You can't find anybody for $7.25 an hour. So the issue is kind of take care of itself. That's why, as far as minimum wage is concerned, if you were to raise it to $10.50, it has very little impact on reality. This idea that companies are going to go out of business because they have to pay $10. You can't find anybody in Virginia for $7.25 doing anything because of the tightening of the job market.
And it's getting highly unlikely to even find them at 10. Go ask McDonald's up here in Northern Virginia.
It's very tough.
And I suspect in Tidewater, it's not much different.
It is not, whether you're in Richmond or anywhere else. But look, so I agree with you on that.
And we're talking 5 years off. At 15 an hour. And, you know, in most businesses, you know, by 2025, 5% higher, you know, prices by then, which from a consumer price index, you know, is about 1.25% a year, which is pretty low. It's still not going to, you know, turn the world upside down.
But I agree with you.
People need to earn a decent wage, and you know, $15 an hour, like I said, is not going to turn anybody into Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. But it's a start to, you know, get them moving.
If you want to get to $15 over a 5 year period, I think that's a reasonable assertion. Now, the pushback you're going to get is the Republicans that have a certain doctrine, and they want to get talking points from the Heritage Foundation or Cato or some of the other stuff that goes on. But if you talk to business people like me that own small businesses, and you own a small business, stick your entire career, I mean, you have to pay a wage that is competitive in the markets you're in. And there's nobody in Virginia working for $7.25. You can't find anybody, so the whole thing is ridiculous. All right, let's get to vaping. Are you guys going to ban it or what?
As you know, Altria pulled their flavored products off the market. Mm-hmm. I quite frankly could vote for that. I mean, this thing is being, you know, as far as I can see, it's being used to attract, you know, people who are under the age of 21. And apparently, you know, not apparently, I mean, not a day or two goes by where you don't pick up the paper and read where somebody got, you know, almost died from that product. And I just don't see how we're a better society for flavored vaping products.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people dying from this vaping, and although I'm not one for government intervention into everything that goes around, I think this is something that really has got to get looked at, Dick, because
it definitely has to be looked at.
I mean, there's
it's
I mean,
a problem.
People are lungs are collapsing. Something is wrong with this, and certainly raising the age to 21, that was a start, and then, you know, we'll go from there. At least they're adults. Okay, let's get to gambling. Big deal, right? I want to get the gambling in Virginia. We've got casinos, we've got baseball, football, book gambling, we've got Pamunkey Tribe, we've got other areas. We've got the Colonial Downs that has the HRC machines. Are they going to be part of it? What's going to happen?
I can't predict what will happen. I don't have a problem with casinos in Bristol and, you know, the Portsmouth, Norfolk area at all. I really don't. And I'm not interested in seeing one up here. We already, effectively, we have a casino, except we don't get any money from it. That's at National Harbor.
Mm-hmm. But, exactly.
There's been the talk of the places that I've heard mentioned have essentially been Portsmouth, Norfolk, and Bristol. And, those locations, don't bother me in the slightest. With respect to the Pamunkey Indians, that issue will just have to get worked out. As far as these so-called, games of skill, anytime you're pulling a slot machine arm, it's not a game of skill, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Well, one of the things you're going to have to deal with is Colonial Downs, which is now under right. Roses Gaming, right? They're operating four casinos, Hampton, New Kent, Vinton, outside of Roanoke, and Midlothian Turnpike.
They're really not full-blown casinos.
Right.
But it's gambling. You're right about that.
Well, what you're going to have to deal with is if they get left out of getting a casino license,
right.
They're the ones that came to the party, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get screwed.
I haven't seen the study report yet. We had a study commission look at all that. Obviously, I don't think we're going to, kick the can down the field. We'll probably start. We may only start with baby steps. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Well, that's a good approach. And those of us that have been in favor of this a long time, we also look forward to book gambling, whether it be – I think Chap Peterson's got a bill for brick and mortar only. I think Sickles has a bill for online. Maybe it'll be a combo of that. But people are gambling, and they're just going to Dover Downs.
Of course they are.
Yeah, so you're just losing the money. I mean, it's the whole thing's asinine.
And,
some
of these games that aren't being that aren't being taxed and put a dent in the lottery, which money goes to K-12. Mm-hmm. The representatives have come to me and said, we'd rather be taxed than outlawed. Essentially, mm-hmm. is what the argument comes to.
Well, you're not going to stop.
Pardon?
You're not going to stop it.
No, and quite frankly, if we're going to have it, I'd just as soon put a tax on it because our schools can use the money.
That makes sense. All right, let's get to kind of a sore subject here. Michael Bills in Charlottesville and his wife Sonia Smith invested an inordinate amount of money, especially on the House side, in getting House members elected to sign a "Don't Take Money from Dominion" pledge, or "Don't Do This Pledge or That Pledge." A lot of people saw that as quid pro quo. I have heard now that Michael Bills is really upset that Eileen Fillercorn was named as Speaker, and that he's really pissed off. Have you heard about that?
Well, I heard that they had leaned on a lot of the people they get, and again, I don't know this for a fact. But I had heard that they are the representatives and made phone calls to get people to vote against Eileen. And, quite frankly, you're getting awful close to that quid pro quo line, when you're doing stuff like that. I'm no fan, of theirs, and they're no fan of mine. They did everything they could to defeat me. I don't take, nor does our caucus, we don't take any contributions that come with any conditions. And, to me, you're getting into dangerous territory when you accept, a deal like that. And, it's a conscience thing, probably more than anything else. But I just don't believe in personally, nor do a lot of people in my caucus, in taking campaign contributions that have come with conditions.
Well, all the money they sent to these House Democrats running for office and others, you had to sign a pledge. I never saw anything like this.
I don't know. I thought they dropped this signage. Maybe they didn't. But I can tell you I wouldn't sign one of those things no matter what. If when you do that, you're getting awful close to stepping over that line on the Hobbs Act.
Well, and then you saw what happened is, you know, they want Michael Bills and Sonia Smith spending, I don't know, a couple million dollars, whatever they spent. They want the influence.
About $3 million.
About $3 million in winning some of these House seats, and then turn around and voting the people they gave money to in order to oust Eileen Filicorn and not allow her to be Speaker.
It didn't work because the Democrats in the House of Delegates caucus, you know, have a lot more common sense and didn't do that. Eileen was the perfect fit, is the perfect fit for that job.
Well, she earned it. You know,
yes, she
did. The bottom line is the state legislature is not for sale in Virginia. I don't care about other states, not for sale.
You bet we're not for sale. And that message needs to get out. They didn't. The House Democrats did an outstanding job in selecting the three leaders that they did in Eileen, Charnel, and Rip. He'll be the caucus chair. Charnel Herring will be the majority leader, and Eileen will be the speaker. And you know, these are all common sense people. They're progressive, but they're centrist progressives. You know. And you know, they just want to do the right thing.
Yeah, well, Eileen earned it. I mean, she's got a funky leadership style, and I make fun of her. That's aside. Eileen Filicorn earned this speakership, and I could fully congratulate her for. I got to go, but when are we going to get the Dick Saslaw leadership team?
Well, our caucus meets this week in Harrisonburg at the Senate Finance Retreat, and I think the leadership will be picked then.
I'll see you then. You're on the John Fergus Radio Network. I want to thank the Majority Leader Godfather, Dick Saslaw, for being with us. Dick, always good to have you on. Appreciate your candor. This segment brought to you by our great friends at Rosie's Gaming and Rosie's Gaming Emporium and Colonial Downs in New Kent. Boy, I was so excited. You know, I went there with the Fräulein last Friday date night. Had a best time ever. It's such a great place. But I tell you what, on November 30th, that's only 9 days away. Guess what? Every location they've got for every location coming up. Up to a $1 million giveaway, cash money, not just cash, not money, cash money, up to $1 million. Here's all you have to do to enter. Four winners: Hampton, New Kent at Colonial Downs, Midlothian Turnpike right by our studio, and number four, Vigit by Roanoke. Well, here's all you have to do. Between now and November 30th, go to any Rosie's location, get a card. You have a card? You don't? What? Get one, it's free. Swipe your card, means you're there. Boom, you get an entry. Play, have fun. All your favorite gamings are there. You have a lot of fun. You can win money. It's just fun. Go there, play. For every 25 tier points, you get another entry. You play a couple hours, you get 100 tier points, you got five entries. Each location, somebody's going to walk away with cash money up to $1 million. How do you beat that? For more information, you want to go to rosiesgaming.com. That's rosiesgaming.com. It's so cool. Rosiesgaming.com. All right, we got a couple of cuts here I want to get to. Sondland.
Talk about it.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump tweeting his satisfaction with the firing of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer. Pentagon Chief Mark Esper fired Spencer on Sunday over Spencer's handling of the case of a Navy SEAL whom the president has defended. President Trump also tweets that he will nominate the U.S. ambassador to Norway, retired Rear Admiral Kenneth Braithwaite, to replace Spencer as Navy Secretary. The detention of more than a million ethnic minorities in China's far west has alarmed the United Nations and driven thousands into exile. Now classified documents show that Beijing is pioneering a new form of social control using data, artificial intelligence, and mass surveillance. Computers use or issue the names of tens of thousands of Uyghurs for detention in just 1 week. Inside the camps, detainees are scored on how well they speak Mandarin and follow strict rules. This is SRN News.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-83.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
Does your well water leave brown rust stains on clothes and fixtures? Does it smell bad? Get rid of it all with the HydroCare Iron 300X. HydroCare's multi-stage process gets rid of iron, sulfide, and odors. HydroCare is an easily installed, compact system without tanks, backwashing, or servicing, and only costs $799. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, visit goodclearwater.com. Goodclearwater.com.
It's your morning show host, Ed Dean, along with my man, Roger Henderson. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back Monday morning, 6 a.m. on Talk Radio, WBOB. Impeachment inquiries. Now this will go for an impeachment vote. And the U.S. House passed out of a committee to fully legalize marijuana, or at least decriminalize it, Roger. Where does this go next?
Well, they want that 5% tax they added with that same bill.
But will the Senate support it? We'll have a lot more of this conversation. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday morning, Ed and Roger, on FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
They don't call him the commander of common sense for nothing.
I'm not a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican National Committee, the Democrat National Committee, any campaign or anybody else. So I'm going to call it like I see it.
Guess who got out of the wrong side of the bed this morning?
Make sure to get your big boy pants on. No crybaby diapers.
There's no crying in baseball.
Here on the John Frederick Show.
Joining us now is Congressman Kelly from Pennsylvania. Congressman, great to have you. Let me be sure you're... Let me just turn your mic on here. How's that, Congressman? You like my Grinch?
I do. I like your Grinch.
Congressman, this is my travel partner. He's been with me since Trump came down the elevator in 2015.
What a great day that was.
Yeah, by the way, this is my wife, Ann. She's helping us today.
How you doing?
She's going to take a picture of us so we can
But, John, we both married up. I can see that.
Well, I married up big time. It's basically, she also runs the entire company. So I'm just, you're just talking to the figurehead.
Okay, I get
so it's
it.
Good to have you. So, look, thanks for stopping by. We got a couple minutes. I just want to get through. The first thing is USMCA.
Sure.
People are saying that it could be as much as 1% increase in GDP. I mean, that is an enormous amount of money. Jobs, manufacturing, wages go up. And meantime, it's sitting in Nancy Pelosi's top desk drawer. Yep. What's the deal?
Yeah, well, the deal is, you know, the worst thing that could happen right now is for President Trump to have another win. We've been talking about this now since not inauguration day when he was inaugurated, but the day after he was elected, the next morning, everybody was saying, my God. He actually did what he said he was going to do. He worked through this mostly by himself, by the way. He didn't have a lot of Republican support. Republican leadership was, I'm not sure. He's not really a Republican. I'll tell you what. Thank God America made a choice to bring somebody in that knows how to run a business, because it certainly changed our whole position, especially from in a global situation where we are. We're the strongest economy, remain the strongest economy. We're the one bright light in the world right now, and I think that it's... it's due to the American people making a decision based on what they didn't want to see anymore. They were tired of the status quo. They decided to go with somebody that had a new plan. And he's a check-the-box guy. He said, I told you I wasn't going to do this, so check the box. That's one more thing we got done. So as a small business person myself, an automobile dealer, I was really excited when the president announced he was going to be a candidate. And we worked very hard to try to get him elected in Pennsylvania. He did something that no Republican's done for a long, long time.
They won the state.
Yeah, won the state. And people said, what's a purple state? It wasn't a purple state. It was a deep blue state. But he changed it. He made it red.
So, Congressman, number one, can he win Pennsylvania again in 2020?
Do you know what? I think that probably the unknown part of Pennsylvania is we tend to do the same thing we did when the president first ran. Everybody thinks the center of all knowledge in the universe is in Washington, D.C. And
well,
only people
that's
Washington,
really where
D.
the money is.
Yeah, well, there's $22 trillion in debt. I know who built the debt. Those people didn't what the hell they were doing.
Right.
So in Pennsylvania, I think you've got to travel the same roads. You've got to go in the same towns. You've got to talk to the same people who the elitists will never talk to, because they really feel that at the end of the day, these poor folks, well-intended, they really don't know what's going on.
Right.
It's people like us that have more degrees than a thermometer that have to tell them which way things are blowing. The president is very strong in the district I'm in. I think he's very strong in most of Pennsylvania. There are areas of Pennsylvania that no matter what he does, they're never going to be believers.
Right.
But the people that I represent is still very strong Trump territory. The president has kept his word to them, and he's done exactly what he said he was going to do. So when you see what's happened, the economy, everybody can say, oh, this is just a sugar high, this is just a sugar high, this is just a sugar high. Well, we've had over 3 years of a sustained business plan that just keeps growing, and where the rest of the world keeps shrinking. So, again, out of the ordinary, not part of what people were sick of, that status quo. President Trump, very strong in areas, a lot of areas of Pennsylvania. And you know what, John, the people who vote for President Trump are not the people they poll. So, you know, if you haven't voted, you get the phone call and said, if you voted in the last two major elections, if you say no, the next sign you hear is a click. So they don't know who it is that they're not talking to.
Right. So, Congressman, by the way, we're with Congressman Mike Kelly, Pennsylvania. What area of Pennsylvania are you in?
Right above Pittsburgh, along the Ohio line, up to the shores of Lake Erie.
Sorry about the Steelers on Sunday.
Well, you know what? It's hard. It's hard to compete when you're out of players. We just really are banged up and knocked around. We're down to one running back. We have no receivers now. Most of them are all hurt, and our quarterback is going to probably play the rest of the year without a helmet.
Right.
It's kind of crazy what's going on. The Steelers will still show up, and they'll play very hard, but they really are hurting from the standpoint of they don't have healthy players.
Well, the good news is you're 5-5, and everybody's 5-5 in the AFC.
Yeah.
So you've got a 50-50 chance to get in the playoffs. Congressman, let's get to impeachment.
Sure.
And first we start with Russian collusion. But look, we were there at the Trump campaign from the beginning, and we know that 2:30 a.m. on November 9th, the opposition was horrified about his win. Nobody expected it, Congressman Kelly, and they were plotting to get rid of him. And you have the, you know, all the I don't know if you want to call them the deep state, but, you know, people in the State Department and others that just didn't want anything to do with America First policies. That didn't work. Then we had Mueller. That didn't work. Now we're on to whatever this is, Ukrainian. I mean, 3 days of watching the hearings, the public ones, it seems like it's a policy debate.
It's, I think, for most clear-thinking people, they watch this. And they say, these people are so filled with hate, they can't see straight. Speaker Pelosi has been very clear about it. If we don't get them on this, we'll get them on something else. So they have a whole list of things that they're going to keep ginning up to get there. And you hit the nail on the head. So we go through the Russia collusion. We go through Mueller. We go through Stormy Daniels. Now we're going through Ukraine. And we're looking at all these things. And by the way, I don't think running for the office makes you immune to what you did in the past. So this immunity that somehow nobody can talk about the Bidens because they're such great people and they would... And Joe's running for office, and doggone it, you don't mess with Joe. Well, I gotta tell you, you know, you're out there, you put yourself out there. That means all your sins get revealed to everybody. So I think we look at this the way it's going on, and from where I'm from an area where people, they don't read every single thing that's out there. They don't read the tea leaves. They don't read all these different opinions people have. They look at where they are in their town and their job and their church and their school. And they look and say, are things better today than they were 3 years ago? And overwhelmingly, they say yes. And when you ask them about the president, overwhelmingly, they're in favor of him. He pulls almost 60% approval rating in the district that I'm in. Now, there's some people that no matter what he does, and I joke about this, but it's the truth. We represent all the way up to Lake Erie. He could walk across the lake to Canada and back every day, and somebody says, you see, that son of a gun, he just can't swim. He may be able to walk on water, but he can't swim. This is a president that made very bold predictions, made very bold assurances. This, if you elect me, this is what I'll do. He's done every single thing. I think it's refreshing to have somebody who was never a political figure to talk about things that are really important to everyday Americans. And then tell him, if you elect me, I'll do this. And he's doing it. Check the box, check the box, check the box. There's never been a time in our history where we've had a greater turnaround than we've had in the last 3 years, in spite of constant, after the president every day, after the first lady every day, after the first family every day. And God help anybody that's ever had a relationship with Donald Trump from kindergarten on, because they're under investigation. And you look at some of the lives that have been ruined. That's the untold story in Washington. The lives that have been ruined by these investigations are incredible. The people they have bankrupted, it's incredible. That's the story that's not out there, and I think that's the greatest sin of all.
Well, you're right. Let me just give you some examples, right? Steve Bannon, who does the War Room impeachment show on the John Fredericks Network, $1.7 million lawyer's fees. What did he do? Work for the campaign, right? Strategist for the president. Corey Lewandowski, campaign manager, my best friend in the world, $800,000 lawyer's fees. Let's get down to somebody like Alexandra Priate, who basically was a consultant for the campaign on communications. $200,000 in lawyer's fees. Had to take a second mortgage on her home. All they did was get a job with the campaign. I mean, these people are spending. Look at General Mike Flynn, bankrupt.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Did nothing wrong. Had a phone call, got set up, bankrupt. But Congressman Mike Kelly, you're right, sir. That is the untold story of the number of lives that have been destroyed simply because you worked for the campaign or you worked in the White House. I mean, why would anybody go in there? It's like, I'm not going to go in there. I'm just going to get sued and get bankrupt with lawyers.
Usually, I would think that one of the greatest responsibilities that goes with being in a power position is using that power for good. I think what we've watched happen, John, is incredible. And the casualness with the way these lives have been destroyed, and that's like, oh, okay, well, fine. Well, you'll just have to find a way to get by. When you start talking about legal fees, and the meter never stops running. People don't have that type of asset. They can't do it. I think, again, as you just said, the most important untold story is not the attacks on President Trump, because you can expect that when you're at the top, but everybody else from the bottom up. Then the question is, so we've got another election coming up. If you know what happened in the last one, and you're looking at the game films, you're saying, you know what? There's certain neighborhoods you just don't go into. And one of them is, if you support this president, you are going to be attacked from every single angle. I just think that what you're doing what conservative radio hosts are doing are bringing out what's really wrong with America right now. That's if you're not on the side of whoever it is that thinks they run the place, you're in deep trouble because they will go after you in a way that you cannot possibly imagine.
Congressman Kelly, you're absolutely correct. Final question, because I know you have to go to other places here. We think the president is going to get impeached in the House, probably on two counts. I don't think there's any question about it, because right now, Nancy Pelosi is really a slave to her activist base.
Yeah.
Congressman, that's where they're getting all the money, right?
Yeah.
31 of your colleagues on the Democratic side got elected in Trump districts. We've got two of them in Virginia. They're going to vote. They're not going to vote for USMCA, but they are going to vote for impeachment. What happens in 2020?
Well, what I'd like to, John, the work that you do every day, and again, the work of that other conservative are doing right now, if people will look towards the truth and do a little deeper dive on what they're hearing, and then they're going to be absolutely appalled what's happened in this country in the last 3 years. I think going forward, there's another report that hasn't come out yet that's going to come out pretty soon. Mr. Durham's going to be finishing up his. Attorney A.G. Barr is going to be getting a chance. There's going to be an opportunity somewhere here in the very near future to see what really happened in America in the last election, what's happened in America the last 3 years, and the undermining of a legitimately elected president by not only those on the other side, but those he thought were working with him and for him. Not working for him, but working for America. I think that's the saddest story of all. Whenever we see what happened, deep state, I don't think people have any idea how deep that deep state is. It's incredible what's happened. People are paying attention. You get the message out, people start to listen, they start to connect the dots, and they say, oh my God, this is not the America that I knew of. This is not the America that 1.4 million Americans have given their lives for to give us this opportunity. Why weren't we watching a little more closely? Thanks to you.
Well, Congressman, you're right.
Talk,
I mean,
talk the truth every day.
2 days of open hearings. We have three diplomats that were upset because the president was not following their policy. I mean, that's basically what 2 days of hearings was. So that's what this whole thing is about. Congressman, I want to thank you for being
John,
with us here on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Really good
thank
being
you.
With you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're good. We're with Peter Navarro. Close?
Assistant to the President and Director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing.
I wasn't even close.
just say Peter. Here we are with Peter.
Dr. Navarro. Okay. You're my hero. I read your book, Death by China.
I'm sorry I haven't been more available in the last month or two. It's just been kind of crazy, and I've been trying to make sure we negotiate behind closed doors, as it were.
We're not shy about asking who to come on.
Where do you broadcast out of?
Bannon's basement. No, we're out of our our flagship is we have two studios, three now. One in Richmond and in downtown area, Richmond. And I used to have and my other studio is at Corey Lewandowski's house. And now the third one is in Bannon's basement. So that's kind of where we are.
Have you been showing up at the embassy? Did you actually go there now?
Yes. We actually do our show. When I'm in town now, I do my show in Bannon's basement there at the embassy. So I set a studio up for him, and Ann and I set it up in a day, right? So took some stuff from this studio, that studio, Corey's house. So it's fascinating. I mean, I look, you know, Steve's got his issues here in the White House, but he's really trying to get the message out and inform people in a consistent way about what is actually going on with this impeachment fiasco. Yeah. So he's done that. Now, tell us about where you are in the trade negotiations, Dr. Navarro, with the Chinese. The president keeps saying he's getting close, but he's not going to make a bad deal. So where exactly are we, Dr. Navarro?
We have a handshake deal as of October in the Oval Office, and the direction from the president was to paper the deal, meaning write it up, and so that's where we are. Ambassador Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, is the lead negotiator. He works with his staff and his counterpart, Leo He, and his staff, And they talked as late as Friday night for a lengthy period of time. And as far as we know, we're on a glide path to this phase one deal. I think for your listeners, John, though, it's important to put this in context. The president, President Donald J. Trump, is the first president in history to stand up to the Chinese. The last two presidents, basically after China got into the World Trade Organization in 2001, basically laid down for Chinese aggression, and China basically had their way with American workers, manufacturers. We saw over 50,000 factories closed, millions of manufacturing jobs lost. What this negotiation is about is what I've called the seven deadly structural sins. It's China hacking our computers to steal our business secrets, forced technology transfer, intellectual property theft to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars a year, the dumping of product into our markets at below cost, which puts factories out of business, solar, wind, furniture, steel,
LED lighting,
everything, right? These state-owned enterprises that roam the globe as the tip of China's mercantilist spear and with the benefit of government subsidies. Currency manipulation. And for me, in many ways, worst of all, a killing of what will be over 100 Americans a day, over 50,000 a year with made-in-China fentanyl and other opioids. So this is not a trade deal. This is not a trade war. This is a battle between two countries over China's economic aggression against the United States. So the good news here is that in this phase one deal, we're going to deal with some of those issues. Intellectual property theft has in-depth provisions. We got a good start on forced technology transfer. And currency manipulation, there's some provisions on that. Great news for farmers. They're supposed to double the amount of expenditures on farm products up to about $50 billion. And so that's where we stand. And as President Trump says, let's see what happens.
The other thing that you didn't mention, where does this fit in, Dr. Navarro, is you've been a big advocate of how important it is for the United States to get its supply chain back from China to the United States. So the manufacturing is here, and part of the tariffs is to be able to make our manufacturing competitive because of the wage difference, right? And we saw that with steel. So in your negotiation in getting the supply chain back to the United States, how does that fit in the overall picture, sir?
The interesting thing about President Trump's leadership is this. When he took office, there was a general view that if we simply engaged economically with China, it would turn into this peaceful, democracy-loving country that we would have peace and harmony with and kumbaya. President Trump has completely changed people's perception about that, I think, to the reality that China is a strategic rival. It is intent on building up its military. It's intent on basically growing its economy, often at the expense of the United States. And so that's an important change in attitude. The president basically is defending this country against China's economic aggression. And from that strong stance, that's what has allowed us to bring China to the negotiating table. The tariffs that have been imposed not only defend our technology, but they're our best insurance policy that China will bargain in good faith. So that's kind of what the chessboard looks like. You know, the trade deals, trade negotiations, these are the things we do with Japan and Brazil and Europe and South Korea and Great Britain, right? They lower their tariffs, we lower ours, trade improves. This is not that with China. This is something very different. It's a battle over whether China will become an economic system that abides by the rules of the international road and allows folks around the world to grow prosperously or whether they continue this zero-sum mentality.
Dr. Peter Navarro, assistant to the president and his chief negotiator of trade policy and manufacturing, let me ask you a personal question, may I?
Yes, you may. Since I got a Dr. Seuss character staring at me here with the Trump-Pence ticket, I will take a personal question with all good humor.
So, as you know, I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm a disciple in your work, and I've read all your books. And so you've dedicated a lifetime in trying to explain to the American people what the problem is with China, how they took our jobs, and all the things that you just said. And you did that as an author in academia. Did you ever think that you would be in a direct position to take all of the things that you spent your career believing on it, working on, and be in the direct line of implementation and execution?
No.
Good answer. I didn't think so. But think of
that. You can't live your life that way.
Right, but
you know what I'm saying? It's like what I've done all my life is to try to help solve problems. And the China problem came up when I was teaching at the University of California, Irvine, right, shortly after China joined the World Trade Organization. I'm teaching macroeconomics, and suddenly I'm seeing the American economy under siege. And I'm going, what's going on? So based on that, I began a study. My first book that came out, The Coming China Wars, I mean, people's heads exploded when that went out there, thinking I'm crazy, and now it reads like a government report. But I'll tell you one thing, because I joke about this, or he jokes about it with me. It's like, President Trump, I was out there early, but he was out there like way early.
Yeah, he was out there. I mean, he's not sure.
he beats me by not years, but about a decade or two.
But I remember when
he
that,
got it.
I remember that book came out. It was so unorthodox because the line was free trade is good, China is good. We'll open up everything. We'll open up the economy. They'll join the organization, and then all of a sudden, poof! There'll be prosperity and democracy. Right? That never happened.
Never happened.
Not close.
Not close.
And you said it wasn't going to happen, and you laid it out there. It's all there in your first book. Many.
Well, it's one of the few predictions I wish I wasn't right about. But yeah, I got that one right. And there's a joke that Nixon, Kennedy said when he got in the White House about Nixon. Like, he gets in and he says, "You know what? It's worse than I said it was on the campaign trail." I'm telling you, being here at the White House, American people need to understand, this is something that we need to address. Okay, these folks are out to get this country, and we need to understand that these are strategic rivals.
So we have to go. But you said the president wanted you to paper the deal. How far along are we in that?
That's Ambassador Robert Lighthizer's comparative advantage. I let him do the work.
So we're in the papering phase. All right, Dr. Navarro, thank you so much for being with us. Always good to have you on, sir. Thank you.
Get your motor running.